New American Standard says the dragon stood on the seashore.
Yes, but even that, the dragon that was added, it is the pronoun he, because a dragon stood at the shore of the sea with a key to the abyss, and that's when the beast came out of the abyss. Right, that's why it is not I. John didn't open up the abyss. But we'll come to that point, okay? We'll come to that point. The reason why we are today in chapter 12, because chapter 12 is definitely related to chapter 7. Right, if we would come back to the chart that we have made, would you please show the chart again? I have a stick this morning. A rod. From?
Mercy.
Oh, from Mercy. Well, thank you, Mercy. It is not the rod of iron. It's not the iron rod. Praise the Lord. It is very long. It's right. It's just right. Just right. No. There's no bud. Amen. Okay. Okay, thank you. Right. The reason why we made this chart concerning the book of Revelation, because it will help you to see that God, in his wisdom, has written a book of Revelation in a wonderful way. Right. The first three chapters are about the golden lampstands. Right. So you have the first three chapters there, the great high priest and the golden lampstands. Because what is in God's heart is not what's going to happen in this world. Okay, that is secondary. The primary concern is God's plan. The Lord wants to have the golden shining lampstand. And today, the Lord is not only the Savior, you have to realize this, in the book of Revelation, he is our great heavenly high priest, walking in the midst of the golden lampstand. People are celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But today, we have to be appreciating this wonderful, great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness and King of Peace. Right? And we know the service of the great high priest is where? Not in the outer court, but in the holy place, taking care of the golden lampstands. And this is the main thing we have to be concerned about today. Right? The Lord is not only our Savior today, but he is our great heavenly high priest, serving us, like Hebrews chapter 7 says, with indestructible life. That's what we need today in the churches. It's not churches only, but the book of Revelation shows us we have to be a golden shining lampstand, full of gold. This is why in the last church among the seven, the Lord says, you're not rich. They thought they are rich. But the Lord says, no, you're poor. Right? You're even naked. Your flesh is showing. You're living according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. And they are blind. The Lord says, you're blind. Oh, maybe I'll ask John to read that last epistle to all of us. The last one. No, in the book of Revelation. Chapter 3, the last church, the church of the Laodicea. Mm-hmm.
All right. So chapter 3, verse 14 of Revelation. And to the angels of the church
the
of the
messenger.
The messengers. And to the messengers of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, says the
Amen.
The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Yeah.
I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have no need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Right? Yeah. That you may be rich with white garments.
Amen. White garments.
That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
Right. According to prophecy, this is the condition of many of the churches today. Lukewarm, thinking that we know so much, been a Christian for so many years. We are rich, right? We know everything, right? But the Lord's view is different. It's not what we think we are, but what the Lord says what our condition is. Right. It seems in the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the Lord didn't have much good things to say. Right. Remember, he's the great high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. He knows everything. He's no longer just on a cross. He's on a throne today. Right. We still celebrate the Lord born and he who was crucified. But we forgot that he's ascended to the throne and he's sitting there. You think he's sitting there doing nothing? Right. He's sitting there, but on one hand, making all of his enemies his footstool. But on the other hand, for us, he is our great heavenly high priest. He cares for the churches. He wants the churches to be golden, shining lampstands. This is why our question this morning is how much gold, heavenly spiritual gold, do we have? Right? How much oil, fresh oil every day, do we have? Right? Are we shining? In this dark world, are we the living testimony shining in this dark world? So we all need to see. Right? This is what the Lord wants in chapters 1 to 3. And remember what Peter said. Judgment begins when and where? In the house of God. It begins with us. Don't think the Lord is not going to judge us. And Paul reminded us that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account. We will be judged. So if we don't repent today and we are not gaining Christ day by day, gaining the real gold, the very divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, of God. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, we are partakers of the divine nature. Right. I don't know how you live, but I know how I live. You know how you live. Right. How much gold do we have? Are we filled daily with a fresh oil, just like in Zechariah chapter 4? It's a golden oil. Right. Without that, what can we do? Right. Remember again, one who warned me and all of us together in Matthew chapter 5, the constitution of the heavenly kingdom. Chapter 7. What did the Lord say? Everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. No? What did he say? Not everyone? Are you sure not everyone? Are you sure you will enter in? And people say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach about you in our street? Lord, Lord, did we not do so many good works, even in your name, cast out demons? What's the Lord answer, George? Good work. Well done. Workers of lawlessness in the name of the Lord, doing, preaching, and doing good works, and that's lawless. Can you imagine that? But that's not what you and I are saying. That's what the Lord himself is saying. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven, they will enter into the kingdom. It's a very serious word. And this is why the word of the Lord in the last book, in the book of Revelation to the churches, are very serious. The first church, he says, I have something against you, although there are many good things, good works, nice, wonderful discernment. Right. But the Lord says, I have something against you, that you have left your best love, the first love. Right. The first means the best. It's not just the first. Just like the Lord gave the prodigal son when he came back, the best robe. And that word, best, is the same word. Same adjective. Right. So, what did the Lord say? Repent. If you do not repent, what is the consequence? I will remove the lampstand. It's very serious. You still say we are a church, but the Lord already removed the lampstand. So what are you? What are we? If the lampstand is removed, you still have the sign there. Church Assembly in Fountain Valley. That sign the Lord will not remove. But a golden lampstand. Is the Lord to remove the golden lampstand? I don't care what sign you have. I'm glad we don't even have a sign here, do we? Just on the door. A big one? No. But we may still have the signs there. But it doesn't depend on a sign. It depends on what the Lord says. What this great heavenly high priest say. And the Lord is not giving us a message. The Lord is giving us a warning. We all like to hear good and nice messages. But it seems to me the Lord didn't have much good things to say about the churches. In Sardis, what about Sardis? You have a name that you are alive. Wonderful name, huh? Isn't it? Are we alive? Huh? So, the church in Sardis thought, they're full of life. You have a name that you're alive. The name Christian, is it a good name? It's related to Christ. So how can it be dead? Well, the Lord says, but you're dead. The worst thing is they didn't even know they're dead. How can a dead man know he's dead? Ask a dead man if he's dead. There is no response, no feeling at all. You have a name that you're living, you're alive, but you are dead. That is why the Lord says, if you don't repent, I'm going to blot your name out of the book of life. How can you put somebody who's dead in the book of life? We're not like the United States. Even those who are dead are still receiving social security. Isn't that crazy? They're even voting. Wow, the dead man can vote. Oh, this is amazing. But I tell you, this is cheating. Those are dead works. This is cheating. No. But we have to test and ask ourselves, are we alive? Are we living Christ day by day? Are we gaining Him? Are we those who are walking according to the Spirit or according to the flesh? We have to ask ourselves. Right. And then are we lukewarm? Are you lukewarm? The Lord prefers you to be either cold or hot. Don't be lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, you become insensitive. If you're cold, at least you know how to put on your jacket. Right? And if you're hot, you know how to put off and wear the right clothes. But if you're lukewarm, you think you're okay. You're not aware. You're not aware of your condition. So, this, the Lord exposed everything in the seven churches. And then the Lord called those to repent and to be overcomers. But if you are not aware of your situation, how can you repent? You think, I'm okay. Why should I repent? If you're not aware you did something wrong, will you repent? Maybe your wife will tell you, oh, you did something not so good. You said, who said that? Immediately we have a reaction. Right, Timo? Right? And then no repentance, or the other way around too. We are not those who repent so quickly, especially if you yourself are not aware that you have done something wrong. You even defend yourself. But the Lord says, repent. If you don't, there are consequences. There's judgment. Don't think we Christians will not be judged. Even Paul, I mentioned it many times, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, he did his best to do the things that are well-pleasing to God. It is in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Why did he have a terror? What is he afraid of? afraid of the devil, afraid of persecution, the judgment seat of Christ. He says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We, not the unbelievers, when the Lord comes in the clouds, there will be the judgment seat of Christ for us, the believers. But nobody talks about it. And maybe nobody wants to talk about it. They said, I'm already saved. I believe. I'm born again. I'm going to be raptured. Where is it written that we all will be raptured? Oh, they were going to use 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But a rapture to where? To the air, okay? Right? As high as Lufthansa, United Airlines, and Delta Airlines. That's as high as you can go. But a man-child is raptured where?
To the throne.
So everybody, why didn't God rapture the whole woman, the entire woman? Huh? How come only the man-child was raptured? And where did the woman go?
To the wilderness. On the earth.
On the earth? How do you prove it's on the earth? So Satan came down and the woman went up.
No. And then as Tino said, the earth helped.
The earth helped the woman. Pull her down.
To swallow the flood.
The earth opened up the mouth and swallowed up the flood. So the woman fled to the wilderness prepared by God. It's on the earth. So where do you prefer to be? With a woman in the wilderness or with a man-child on the throne above? Your choice. Elizabeth, where would you choose to go, to be? Up there or in the wilderness? But the worst is the woman is the totality of God's people who died in the past. That's why the man-child are the martyrs in seal number 5. Remember the Lord says, wait, just wait until the number is complete. So the man-child, how do you prove that this is the martyrs? These are the martyrs because in chapter 12, it describes this man-child. Who are they? Those who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who washed their clothes in the blood of the Lamb, and who have the testimony of Jesus, and those who do not love their life unto death. These are the man-child. They are the overcomers. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimonies. And they love not their soul life, their life unto death. That's the man-child. It's not the woman. The woman are dead, but dead in a natural cause, not because of the testimony of the Lord. Right. So, where do we belong? If you're dead, which part do you belong to? That is why it's important for us to see yesterday. In Revelation chapter 7, after the sixth seal is open in chapter 6, the angel says, wait, stop. Something important has to be done. And firstly, the sealing of the faithful Jews, 144,000, 12,000 per tribes. They're going to be here on the earth. None of the Jews are going to be raptured. Okay. So, but the Lord will preserve them and help them on this earth. All right. When the tribulation, the great day of God's wrath, arrived. So chapter 6, we see when the seal is open, this terrible sign is there. We don't need to read it again. But it says everyone on this earth will know the great day of God's wrath has arrived. Who are you going to hide? Are you going to drill the hole and hide, go to the tunnel or whatever? I don't know. There will be no place to hide. Right? And that means, okay, the judgment is going to come immediately. But then chapter 7 says, wait, an angel came down with a seal of God in the hand. And says, wait, stop, just give me a little time for the sealing of the 144,000 right here in chapter 7. So there is a little pause there. Stop, wait. The four angels were already ready there to let go and destroy. Right. Revelation chapter 8 says one third of all the creation. One third, can you imagine? From the air, from the sea and the earth, one third of everything will be destroyed. Yeah. So, yeah. And the second wonderful thing, especially for us now, for the believers, you have the multitude. John saw the multitude before the throne of God. That means they were raptured. They were raptured. They went up there. Is it the woman included? No, it's a man-child. So the book of Revelation shows us at least two main groups of people were raptured. One is the man-child. Where did the man-child come from? Who gave birth to that man-child? The woman. So that means when the sixth seal is open, the resurrection, those who are God's people will rise first, right? The dead in Christ will rise first. The rest of the dead, of the unbelievers, they will resurrect at the end of the millennial kingdom. And their judgment will be before the great white throne of God. Okay? But we will be judged, right? When the Lord comes. Right. So here, this is why this morning we read Revelation chapter 12. So if here we see the rapture in chapter 7, what does it tell you? Who is raptured? The man-child. So that means the woman must have been already resurrected, according to Revelation chapter 12. It is very clear, at least, I hope, to all of you. Right? Is it clear, Olesa? Jasper? Clear? So, praise the Lord. The word is very clear. And then you also have to read Revelation chapter 14. Let's read it right now. Otherwise, we won't finish the book of Revelation. We only have how many days? 1.5 days left, right? Okay, Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5.
And behold, a man standing on Mount Zion, and with him all the believers,
100,
all the believers, 100,
all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and born again,
144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads.
Come on, you think only 144,000 are born again and saved and redeemed? Simon, what do you think? So is it good enough just to be redeemed? To be standing with him in the heavenly Mount Zion? Where are you today? Right. No, continue, please, to read it.
And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth.
Oh, are we all singing all the time the old songs and no new songs? What is that new song? No one can learn. It's definitely not Jingle Bells, okay? Not Silent Night and Holy Night. No. Those are old songs, ancient songs. How is your experience of Christ day by day? Is it the same? Paul talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he desires to know him. When I was younger, maybe the age of Emmanuel, and a little bit older, at that time I said, Paul, you knew Christ so well already. What do you mean I want to know him? How did you write a book of Philippians and says, oh, I want to know him? How much do you know him? How much is your revelation and experience of Christ new every day? When you read the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, do you see new light? You think you know everything in the Bible? No more revelation. God ran out of things to show you? Vince, it's not your fault. Well, God ran out of things to show me. You can argue that. It depends on your seeking heart, right? Paul desires to know him more. And not only to know him, but to live him. Do you know that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead? You believe that, Simon? What about you? Paul, oh, I want to know that Jesus rose from the dead. Did he say that? What did he say? I want to know the power of his resurrection. That power, why? The Lord needs more power? Huh? Who needs that power of his resurrection? You, me too. If not, I tell you, your daily living will be conquered by death. You have no power. That's why in our Christian life, we failed many, many times. Because death works in us. This is why Paul complained, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from the body of this death? We only know about sin, but we do not know about the working of death. Right. Sin can be forgiven, okay? By the blood. But what about death? Hmm? What do you need? Vitamins. You need the power of his resurrection. Every day and all the time. So we all need to really see that this rapture in Revelation chapter 14. Please keep on reading. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the God.
How come it didn't say, and they are born again?
The sins are forgiven. There are qualifications. Right? They are pure. They are not defiled with women. Did not Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, what did he say? We must perfect holiness in the fear of God. We must purge out all the defilement of the spirit and of the flesh and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's one of the qualifications. What about our lips, our mouth? I think we said a lot of nonsense. A lot of lies. Untruthful thing. We say anything. Remember what the Lord warned us? He says, every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth will be what? Judged. How many idle words do we speak every day? He didn't say bad words, okay? Of course, bad words is going to be judged. Idle word. What does the word idle word mean, Mo? Give us a good definition.
Something that's not helpful, no benefit.
No benefit.
No, not edifying.
Not edifying. Something that is meaningless. A lot of criticism. Do you like to criticize? Even if you criticize, criticism is correct, it's idle. It doesn't help anybody. Right? How often did you criticize your husband? Did it help him? Oh, where is your husband sitting? It not only will not help him, it will make him more angry. Idle words. We spoke so many words, not only not edifying, but unnecessary. Gossip. Gossip. Complaining. Right. But this group of 144,000, in their mouth was found no what?
No deceit.
No deceit. No idle words. No lies. No guile. For they were blameless. Wow. What qualification. And their first fruits. What does it mean, first fruits? Huh? You have a tree at home, George? A fruit tree? No fruit trees. Okay, who had fruit trees at home? You have fruit trees. When it bears fruits, all fruits ripen at the same time. We have a guava tree, we have an orange tree, we have a few fruit trees at home. Not all three fruits ripen at the same time. Only the first fruits ripen first, and there are not too many of them. The rest takes a long time, and some didn't even mature, just fell down. It's not harvested, okay, it just fell down by itself. But these ones, they are not only redeemed, but they're redeemed to become the first fruits. That means they are ripened first. That's why Paul warned in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians, in the book of Hebrews, that we should not remain babes in Christ. Didn't grow. And still walking according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Not living Christ, but you live yourself. Yeah. Paul said, for the length of time in Hebrews chapter 5, you all should already have been teachers, but you still need people to feed you with milk and not with solid food. You're babes, you remain babes. So, continued in chapter 6, he said what? Let us leave the elementary principles of the Word of God. Well, elementary. Did you start college when you were 3, 5 years old? You start what? Elementary school?
Kindergarten.
Even kindergarten. Goodness. Kindergarten. Many of us Christians, maybe not in kindergarten, but the Corinthians were in kindergarten, babes in Christ. Paul told them, I cannot feed you with solid food, but with milk, because you're still babes in Christ. And right? Yeah. And what about Ephesians chapter 4? Let us be no longer children, tossed to and fro by every doctrines and craftiness of man, leading us to a system. And then we are trapped there. But these are the first fruits. How many? 1,444,000,000. No? 144,000. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Have you ever seen a lamb that only stands in one place all the time, every day? No. They have not only 2 feet like us, they have 4 feet. They run everywhere. They're alive. You're alive. Do you do the same thing every day?
No.
Right. So it's difficult to follow you, right? It's difficult to follow. You think the lamb will just stay the same place and that's it? No. Our lamb wants to lead us into glory. Hebrews says he's even our captain. What does a captain do? Leading you to where? Victory all the way to the throne, to glory. You may have a redeemer, but you don't have a captain. Right? The captain would lead you. So the Christians will be led to where they all believe, okay, I'm already saved, I'm going to heaven. You think it's that simple, eh? To sit on a throne, you have to be an overcomer. How many times it says in the book of Revelation, the first part, to him who overcomes. Overcome what? So you have to read. You have to know. Chapter was one. Read many times every day. Pray about it. But here, I want you to know that when the sixth seal is open, all these things will be happening there. Except I hope we will be watching, not down here below. But, okay, in chapter 12 it tells us something very important. Okay, in principle, where did the man-child go?
To the throne.
To the throne, went up. Where did the woman go? To the wilderness. Okay, on the earth. Is that all? There is another group. If the woman was the totality of all God's people who died in the past, and a man-child is the resurrected one, because they are the martyrs. But then, at the very end of chapter 12, would you please read?
Verse 17?
Yes, please.
Okay. And the dragon was enraged with the woman.
But there's nobody else to persecute.
And
does it say that?
It goes on. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Who are they?
The living Jews and the living Christians left on the earth.
Left behind on the earth.
Yes.
What? There will be some left behind? Unless you're dead, then you will be qualified to go to the wilderness, okay? So what do you prefer, alive or dead? Let me give you a choice. If you're afraid to meet the dragon, the beast, then, okay, Lord, take me right now. I want to go to Hades first. But if you want to be alive, then you have only two choices. Either you go up or you remain. So, Shirley, where do you want to go? You have three groups of people there. But the most wonderful thing is that this group of overcomers who defeated Satan today on this earth, after they were raptured to the throne above, what happened? War. Praise the Lord. What causes Satan to be thrown down and cast down to the earth? The woman? Those who remain here? Ay, now you know why Satan, the dragon, wants to devour that child. He's afraid. So are you afraid of the devil or he's afraid of you? Maybe you never asked this question. Who's afraid of who? Why do you think the dragon wants to devour that man-child? He is a threat to Satan. You don't realize how much we are here a threat to the devil, stopping his work. This is why in Ephesians, everybody likes chapter 1. And the body of Christ, hallelujah. We are the body of Christ, right? But we are also the army fighting the spiritual battle. In chapter 6, you love chapter 1. Do you love chapter 6?
Yes.
Are you a warrior? We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You just do not realize how much the enemy is afraid of this kind of believers on this earth. The potential man-child. To stop him. Which part do you belong to? Or do you want to belong to? That is why immediately after the man-child was caught to the throne, war began. How come it didn't begin earlier? No, wouldn't it be better if it start right now and we will have less trouble? Right? But how come it has to wait until the man-child is caught up? These questions you all need to understand. It's not a doctrine. It is not a doctrine. Don't think, oh, we are a church. Well, what kind? That's why at the very end, in Revelation chapter 19, let's jump the gun to Revelation chapter 19, but you don't have to go there. After we, the man-child and those who are raptured, and after all the process of the judgment seat of Christ, then there will be an army coming down with Christ, riding on white horse, to fight the battle, the last battle of Armageddon on this earth. Are you drafted to be part of the army? I'm sorry.
Oh,
goodness.
Are only the ones raptured before are in this army?
Definitely. Do you realize that the army's uniform is the same as the bride who made herself ready in the same chapter? And the white robes in chapter 7. Right? Because before the judgment seat of Christ, all those who are not qualified will not enter into the kingdom. They're not qualified. If you're not qualified, then how can you be qualified to be in the army? Right? Today, in this lawless country, everybody's qualified. That's why they are so worried about Hetzel being the new director of the Department of Defense, because now he is going to kick out a lot of disqualified people just living on the salary of the army, enjoying life, not qualified to fight the battle. Right? Suppose I'm so old, 99 years old and frail, I can't even stand. You think the army would take me? But it's going to take you, I tell you. I guarantee you, they're going to take Emmanuel. Don't think the Lord will have an army of weakling. Praise the Lord. So you need to see this wonderful book of Revelation. Otherwise, you don't know why you're a Christian. You don't even know what's going to happen in the future with you. You know what you want to be in the world. You want to be a doctor. You want to be an engineer. You want to be, I don't know what, right? James, do you know what you want to study and you want to be? Engineer, right? Well, what about Christians? What do you want to be? A spiritual engineer. You think the Lord needs engineers in heaven, huh? No. So, praise the Lord. You have to realize these two chapters here, and especially this chapter here, they are already in heaven, on the throne. Not just in heaven somewhere enjoying the angelic choir, no. They are being trained there to come down in the army with the Lord Jesus to rule and reign with Christ on the earth. Please read to us again. Oh, the time. Okay, good. To be continued.
Yes.
Let's have a pause.
All right, let's take a break and be back at promptly 11:30, okay? The kids are restless also. They need play too.